House of Comments. I'm Charlotte Henry, and she is Emma Bunnell. Hello.
Hello.
So let's start, as we inevitably have to do, this week's prize for announcing their retirement after we finish recording goes to Brandon Lewis this week. Well done.
It is unbelievable.
I mean,
how
lad,
this happens.
Can you sort it out?
Do they retire on a Friday in general? Is that the mistake that we're making?
It may well be. I don't know. They seem to be doing it to spite us. We've had Theresa May, now Brandon Lewis, who obviously...
Sajid Javid, we had that one.
That's the classic one. That was the classic one. But Brandon Lewis obviously was another fairly senior figure. Mm. He was the Justice Secretary for, I'm trying to count the number of days, 6th of September 2022 to the 25th of October 2022.
I'm sure he got not done.
He made a real impact, but, you know, he's held a variety of ministerial roles, not an insignificant figure.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the ones you've heard of, right?
Indeed. Indeed.
That's kind of the barometer with these resignations now.
I think that's right, yeah.
So, well, not resignations, but retirements.
Retirements. I think that's right. And there's a wider collection now it's building up. Look, we're sort of at the point where there is just a bit of a turnover, aren't we? Everything's kind of coming together with it.
I mean, yeah, there's always a bit of natural wastage. That always happens. But this is higher than that, much, much higher than that. There's an awful lot of people who've gone, either I'm not going to win my seat and I'm not going to kill myself trying, knowing that that's going to happen. Or other people who have gone, this place is going to be bloody awful after we lose. I don't want to be in opposition. I don't want to be in opposition with these nutters running the party. I'm off ski.
Yeah, I don't think Brandon Lewis is in the nutter camp, is he? He's always seen, you know.
No, I mean, it's all relative. He's still a Tory.
Oh, Emma. But yeah, look,
he's a mainstream Tory. He's no Suella Braverman.
No.
Anderson type.
No, he did have a... He was an immigration minister for a little bit, which I'm sure was a very fun job. Mm. But it was obviously often in the Home Department. Anyway, he is off. Someone who is coming in is Vaughan Gething. He is now the Welsh First Minister, Labour leader in Wales, and the first Black leader of a national government in Europe. This is another, I think, really historic moment that we in the UK should be proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. We now have minority ethnic leaders in the UK Parliament, Scottish Parliament, where the leader of the opposition is also minority ethnic, and the Welsh Assembly. It's quite astonishing.
It's what I think is so wonderful about this, and we've sort of touched on it before, is how not a thing it often is. People are just like, oh yeah, cool, okay. Hamza Youssef.
It's also worth mentioning that, of course, because Sinn Féin took over the Northern Irish Assembly, there's a Catholic in charge there, which, while not a different minority, is definitely a religion that has been...
Sure, it's a significant moment, and certainly in a different way, absolutely. But I think in Britain, we're quite good at sort of talking ourselves down, aren't we, and sort of sneering at ourselves. And actually, I think the fact that Rishi Sunak, Hamza Youssef and now Vaughan Gething are leading their respective parliaments and countries, or parts of the United Kingdom, whatever way you want to phrase it, is really a moment we can take pride in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's nice is we sort of take quiet pride in it. You know, we're like, that's great, but what are the politics? And that's exactly how this should be treated.
I agree with you. But I also think it's worth acknowledging, because as I say, I think we can be sometimes somewhat dismissive of ourselves. And actually, the level of progress this indicates, I think, is something that is worthy of pride.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's exactly right.
So I have to ask you, what do you know about Vaughan Gething? Is he going to be an ally to Keir Starmer? Was he a big figure? Was he someone talked about in the Labour Party, in the Labour movement? Because Mark Drakeford, who he's succeeding, was quite a figure.
Yeah, Mark Drakeford had been around a long time. He came to power under Corbyn and was much more closely aligned with Corbyn than he was with Starmer. He's leaving behind some quite complex issues that are really bustling under in terms of the politics of Wales.
Yeah, and the Conservatives always use Wales as a stick to bash Labour with, don't they?
They
I'm
do,
very
and
sure.
sometimes fairly, sometimes unfairly.
Sure.
So, for example, the Welsh NHS. Well, it's all very well to you, but the funding still comes from central government, and that's the problem. Basically, one of the biggest problems in politics across Europe, at least, is don't mess with farmers.
Yes.
And there is a big, big issue with a policy that the Labour government in Wales have implemented, asking farms to give up, I think it's 10% of their land
Oh dear.
to environmental, to rewilding, essentially,
That's not going to go down well. And I say
which
that
is not going down well at all.
you and I sitting in London can even work that out. But let's just get back to,
But
we'll get.
Vaughan Gething, it was Vaughan Gething versus Jeremy Miles, both of whom were seen as much, much closer to Starmer
Okay.
in terms of politics. They both come from the sort of centre of the party. They didn't have that much difference in politically, and I mean, the result was pretty close.
Sure.
So I think it was about who worked the room best, as it were.
Right. So you can see this being a sort of ally if Keir Starmer becomes Prime Minister, as we expect. He'll have an ally in one of the devolved assemblies.
And I mean, Anas Sawa and Keir are pretty close, as I understand it, get on very well. There will be times when, for political reasons or for reasons of just believing it, they'll disagree, and that's fine. That's grown up. That's politics. That hasn't always been very grown up when that's happened with, say, Andy Burnham. And then, of course, there was the massive overreaction to Uxbridge, which kind of put Keir and Sadiq Khan on a bit of a collision course.
By the way, Mayor of London also from an ethnic minority.
Absolutely, yeah, good point. Though I believe that relations there seem to have massively improved, and that all seems to have been largely put behind us. Anas Sawa's gone further in terms of calling for a ceasefire in Gaza than Starmer has, but I mean, Starmer's kind of been edging towards that position anyway, alongside the Americans. Basically, what he's doing is saying what Joe Biden says. But the politics of Scotland have made that more complex for Sawa.
Sure. But
But
basically,
I
what
think.
I'm seeing is with Vaughan Gething now, with Anas Sawa, who probably won't ever become the First Minister of Scotland, probably.
I mean, I don't know. The SNP seem to have become exceptionally adept at shooting themselves in the foot.
That's true. The point I make is you've now got these sort of all the pieces of a jigsaw in place for Starmer, which I think is useful because obviously, particularly for a Conservative Prime Minister, we saw, there's all these different conflict points, right?
Yes.
I mean, he didn't even have a DUP First Minister of Northern Ireland now.
That's true, and there have been conflicts, and there particularly were during
Yes, that's
COVID.
what I was thinking of.
Andy Burnham was particularly vocal about what was being, the tiered system, which absolutely battered Manchester. I think that it's a double-edged sword, if I'm honest. Yes, largely they will all be in sympathy and pulling in the same direction, but that will mean the occasions where they don't will be more high profile, because it's like, well, of course Andy Burnham doesn't like Rishi Sunak,
Sure.
whereas
Well,
Vaughan
of course,
Gething
Mark
disagree
Drake.
with
Well, of
Keir
course,
Starmer's
Mark
more of
Drake
a
that
story.
doesn't like Boris Johnson.
So it's more of a story when they do disagree. But that's devolution, and that is how devolution should work.
Sure. It's one of the reasons you support it. I'm generally in favour of it. So his first words were Mark Gething, where Vaughan Gething came in and replaced Mark Drake. He said, for everything you've done, he thanked Mark Drake. But then he said, it was a matter of pride to become the first minister as a black person. I believe for a modern Wales, but also a daunting responsibility for me. that I do not take lightly. Today, we can also expect the depressingly familiar pattern to emerge, abuse on social media, racist tropes described with polite language.
Mm.
Politely, well, people questioning my motives, and yes, they will still question or deny my nationality, whilst the other questions why I'm playing the race card. Well, I suspect depressingly he's going to be proven right, but I hope it's at a minimum, because as I say, I think this is a sort of, it's another moment of pride and progress for the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. And we shouldn't let the noise defeat the signal.
Quite so. Quite so. This sort of takes us, it's been a funny week, actually. I was thinking this as we were putting the show together, of like, we've had some manic weeks where you and I don't know how we're going to fit it all in.
Yeah.
This has been a sort of, I'm going to regret saying this, aren't I?
You are, because what are you setting us up for?
I know. At the point we have hit record on this show, it has been a somewhat calmer week. Mel Stride, the Work and Pension Secretary, tried to throw a grenade into that when speaking to The Telegraph. He basically said that the approach to mental health in the UK had, quote, gone too far, and, quote, normal anxieties of life are now being labelled as mental health issues, is what he said. Basically, his ambition is to get 150,000 people back into work. You know, there's working age people who are not at work and are signed off from work and receiving benefits because they are because of mental health issues. What's your first impression of that before I get into it?
I think that he's looking down the telescope from the wrong end, basically. There's this whole, I mean, I had to talk about this on the television this morning. There's this sort of sense that from generations before, of which I am one, the person I was talking to was almost exactly the same age as me, that, these snowflake generation, we had it tough and we didn't have all this mental health being written off work. And to an extent, there's a case for that, in that it's certainly true. We were less good about mental health issues in the past. It's also true that if you are a young person now, if you were a young person when I was a young person, you kind of assumed that one day you would have a job that was reasonably senior and paid decent wage, and you'd be able to buy a house. And so whatever was bothering you in the moments in between, you kind of knew that your circumstances were temporary, they were commensurate with your age, it wasn't, you know, forever. We have taken that away from young people.
Yeah, and there is a sense, isn't there, that bit in my generation, certainly the generation below me, that you're not going to be better off than those, than our parents.
Yeah. And that was, and I think that we haven't in any way come to terms with what that means for the stability, the security, and the mental health, the mental security of young people.
It's a huge issue, and it's a very fair point you make, and I'm inclined to agree with you. And then, of course, you had the devastation to various generations of COVID and lockdowns and those things, which exacerbated a lot of the issues. He does make a point that I have a bit more sympathy with, though, which is that he makes the point that getting back into work can often help improve mental health, and actually being signed off maybe not be the best thing. And I think there is an element of truth to that. It's a very case-by-case basis, and you do have to be careful. But
it's the generalisation that I find distasteful from him.
I think that's a very fair point. But I also think there is a very, underneath his slightly clumsy language and whatever else, I think there is a salient point there.
I think there is a salient point there, but the other question is what our workplace is like. And an awful lot of people are opting out of the workforce, and for example, taking pensions early, because work is horrible for some people. You are lucky if you love your job, or it seemed to be lucky. And again, I was talking this morning. My brother drives a forklift truck, right? And he loves it. Absolutely loves it. He's done it for a long time now.
I'm a bit scared of the idea of a burnout at the helm of a forklift truck, if I'm honest with you.
I mean, he's the coolest, calmest of the three of us by like a million miles.
I can also believe that. Having met you and your sister, I can believe that, yes.
Yes, I always tell people that my sister's like me, but louder and taller and thinner and blonder. And they're like, louder? And then they meet her and they're like, oh. Now, the thing about Mikey is he owns a lovely house of which he's nearly paid off the mortgage. You know why? He lives in Australia.
Right.
Imagine telling that story in the UK. It's just not possible.
I suspect someone that owned a forklift truck would not own their own home in the UK.
Never mind paying off the mortgage.
Right. I think, yes, I think what he has failed to do in this male stride is that he acknowledges as well, and it's a really important point, that the fact that we are better about talking about mental health is a good thing. And that has been a real sign of progress, I think. That we can have serious conversations about mental health, and you're not seen as weird if you say, oh, actually, I'm feeling really down and could do with six CBT sessions or something. People don't think that's weird anymore. People think it's
No.
a brave, positive thing to go and do that and look after yourself in that way. And that's right. And it's a real sign of progress that people are like that. And he acknowledges this as well, Mel Stride. But his language is clumsy. His language is too broad. But of course, there is another point, which is that there are a lot of people of working age not in work for various reasons. And that has a huge impact on the benefits bill.
It does, absolutely. And the Tories go on and 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 on about languishing on benefits and people and the benefits bill. But they never act, all they do is just make welfare nastier and harder. Now, if you do that, what you're going to do is make people who already have mental health issues that have written them off worse. So it, instead of thinking, how can we improve the labour market? How can we improve conditions for people at work so that they're more enticed to go back to work? Instead, they're like, how can we make it as horrible as possible for people on the sharpest end of things? I saw a
Yes,
statistic
there's a lot of
today.
stick and not much carrot, isn't there often?
I'm just see if I'm going to find this tweet.
And the other thing, of course, which of course Mel Stride doesn't want to acknowledge, is that with the highest tax burden for 70 years, there's a point where people might think they're not that much better off if they go back to work. And that's another huge, huge issue. And funnily enough, I don't notice him particularly acknowledging that either.
No. So here it is. Sam Friedman's tweeted today. I can't get over the fact that there's been a 68% increase in 1 year in the number of people who don't have enough food to 3.7 million.
There were
I
some
mean,
horrendous poverty figures, weren't there, that came out?
yeah. And, that most of those will be in work. If you're in work and that's what's happening to you, why would you put yourself through it? It particularly if your job is, not just poorly paid, but also has appalling terms and conditions.
Yeah, and it's not that fulfilling.
And this is the thing, we've got to fix work, not constantly tinker with making people on benefits lives worse.
When I was reading this interview, well, or the write-up of the interview, all I could think of was Norman Tebbit and his "Get on Your Bike"
Yeah.
speech.
And it's like we've learned nothing.
Yeah, I that did kind of occur to me. This is obviously a bit of an election play as well, isn't it? As everything is this year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing it's the yeah, basically it's straight out of them appealing to the channel on which I was appearing this morning. Yeah, I think there's a sense from some people are just idle. But I think actually, if you look at the British Attitudes Survey, 20 years ago, attitudes towards those on welfare was appalling. It's really changed. And I think partly it's changed because of things like the cost of living crisis, COVID. We've all kind of seen that actually benefits are kind of vital safety net that we
And
all might end up using.
it's not quote unquote your fault if you're on benefit.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not sure that the market is there for the ideas that Mel Stride's selling.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. There's a couple of other bits that stuck out to me. He of course, as all politicians like to do these days, blames social media. He's talking about quiet quitting trends and lazy girl job trends, which I was like,
Dude, get off TikTok.
I think that might be my takeaway from it. And he also said that he thinks as a society we, quote, maybe lost a sense of what work has been about in the past. And I have to, there is a tiny part of me that has, I don't know, I don't think sympathy is the right word, but sort of understands where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And I
There's a
say that
part
as,
of me that wants to say, fine, go talk to employers.
yes. And,
Because
I
can you
say,
imagine a Tory intervening with employers to make work better? No, he's not going to do that. He's just going to tell everyone they're lazy and stupid.
particularly young people.
Yeah.
And look, I'm saying all this as a very privileged person who gets to write and, if I want, sit at home and do things that I love for my living. And I'm very lucky. So I'm saying all this with a sort of level of understanding at the privileged and rather spoilt position I come to this debate from. But as I said, I think there is a point. I do think he hasn't expressed it very well, though. And this is quite clumsy, and the Conservatives heading into the election are going to have to find ways to express these ideas in less clumsy language, because they're only going to appeal to a very small segment of people if they keep talking in these kind of ways.
Those are the voters they've decided to go for.
But there's not enough of them.
No, there aren't. But then the Tories polled at 19% yesterday.
Jeez. It's normally
As
you that
I
lie.
tweeted, the average vote for a Tory MP in 2024 was 19.
It's just, I don't quite know how they move forward from this, but because you do have, there is a real fine line, because they can't go backwards and say everyone, talking about mental health is silly and weak. And he's not doing that. I want to be really clear. Mel Strides is not doing that.
No,
But
but he is dog whistling it.
there is a little bit of a dog whistle there, and you have to be careful.
Yeah. And I mean, the problem with dog whistling is that the Tories used to dog whistle on all sorts of things, and now they're shouting about them. And the direction of travel on things where you're dog whistling only seems to be in one direction.
Yes. Well, it's been a kind of, as I say, a slightly quieter week. I'm wondering what else we've got to come next. We've obviously also had, and I it's
Well, it's
sort
been the
of,
Rwanda ping pong, which it feels quiet because nothing's really happened.
but the Lords are obviously digging in on that, aren't they?
They are, and now, of course, we're not going to see it go back to the Commons, this emergency legislation. We'll not be going back to the Commons until after after Easter. So how it's an emergency that we tell everyone Rwanda's safe, except that it's now taken over 4 or 5 months. And of course, black still isn't white.
And it's still not safe. No, this is going to, I mean, look, we've laughed about it before. I was reminded of that Economist cover with Rishi Sunak on a small boat, which had the title Rishi Sunak Strategic Genius. He's made a hash of this because he's made it such a totemic issue and he can't win.
He can't win.
You and I.
And of course, even on Wednesday, he said at PMQs, we've cut small boats by a third.
And 500 people came across it.
And 500 people came across yesterday.
Thursday, was it Wednesday? Anyway, it doesn't matter. There was a day with 500
there was
people
a
came.
Record amount of people coming
Absolutely.
Across. Its numbers at the moment are looking like they'll be significantly higher than last year. It's just he's made a rod for his own back by putting all of his chips in this one leaky, punctured basket.
Yeah, I agree. And it, you know, reform will make it an absolute.
Yeah. And reform, of course, don't have to have a workable policy on immigration because they're never going to be in government.
Never, ever, ever. They might not even have an MP after the election. No. Lee Anderson will probably win, but not guaranteed.
No. It'd be interesting because obviously, if reform versus the Tories versus Labour in that seat.
Yeah, Labour could come through the middle on that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a mess. And the Lords, this.
He had to pretend that a mate was a voter who was going to vote for him in one of his videos. He's not can't be that locally popular if he can't find a single voter who'd actually say it.
I
for
remember
once.
That. But the Lords really have dug in. There was a number of amendments on which the government was defeated. And you've made this point before, but it bears repeating. This was not in the manifesto. The Lords are under no compulsion to let this go through.
No, I mean, there is the Parliament Act. So eventually Parliament will get its way.
Yes.
But the Lords don't have to make it easy for them.
No. Because, as you rightly pointed out a while ago, it was not in the manifesto. The Lords don't tend to bash around manifesto commitments, but this wasn't one.
And no, so, absolutely.
The point is, even if Rishi Sunak eventually gets to it, first of all, I don't believe, and I would happily take a bet on this, that we will see a plane to Rwanda with people on it take off before the general election.
I think we probably will. I think there will be one flight in, say, June, July. I mean, it may be because it'll have to go through all the court stuff that it'll be more like August, September, October. But I don't think it'll make the blindest bit of difference because I think people can see, like, if there's, like, say, 60 people on that plane, that's less than a boatload, right?
Okay, I'll have that bet with you. I don't think there will be a flight that takes off.
God, have we turned into Rishi Sunak? Are we betting on everything now?
We might be. Well, I'm not going to shake your hand on a grand. I can tell you that for nothing.
No. only bet what you can afford to lose, people.
Well, quite. But I remain totally unconvinced that we will see a flight take off. I'm interested that you think we will. I guess, I mean, it's a sort of a conversation for another day, but I guess if such a flight does take off, and then Labour wins, they'll reverse the policy.
Yeah. Because it's a pointless policy. That money could be so much better used.
Well, indeed.
In beefing up the admin staff who actually do the asylum claims.
Yeah. Yeah, it won't make a blindest bit of difference. But he's made this rod for his back. We'll keep having a look on what ping-pongs between the Lords and the Commons on this and how many times Rishi Sunak and the government are prepared to be whacked around on it. I have to say, I don't think the public are particularly following parliamentary procedure in the way saddos like you and I do.
No, of course they're not. What they know is that everyone keeps going, Rwanda's the answer to the boats, and the boats keep coming, and Rwanda keeps not happening.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Even if Rwanda happens, and I mean, I'm not, like 100%, I wouldn't bet with you on it, because I'm skeptical. But I, because nothing good ever happens. but bad things happen all the time. I'll I believe they probably will get one plane in the air. It will be a symbolic plane, but it will make Suella Braverman happy. It's not going to solve anything. And it's certainly not going to have the kind of, like, they think, and it really is just a hope, there's no proof points to this at all, that it will put off people from coming.
No.
I don't think it will. And even were it to be likely to do so, it wouldn't.
Oh, no, I'd never thought it's a natural deterrent.
Trickle down deterrent effect in time to reduce those numbers before the election.
No, and it's a silly lottery and people are prepared to take the bet on it.
Exactly, because if you've already put your life in such jeopardy to get here, and the odds of you going to Rwanda are, I think, 1 in 200, something ridiculous like that, then why wouldn't you take that bet?
Yeah. And well, I think the Lords are going to bash it around for a bit longer.
Indeed. And then it will come back after recess. And it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, the theorising is that the reason that he doesn't want it in Parliament this side of the locals is he doesn't want all his MPs gathering together in the lobbies. talking to each other.
Well, we'll see what comes back after the Easter recess. We're going to take an Easter recess as well because we have lots and lots of chocolate to eat. So we won't be here on Good Friday, but we'll be back after
hot cross buns.
Ooh, I quite fancy
love
one
a hot
of those.
Cross bun.
Emma, where will people be able to keep up with you in the interim?
I'm, as most people after yesterday know, on Twitter, at Emma Burnell _. But I'm also have my newsletter that you can sign up to, which is Hard Thinking on the Soft Left on Substack.
Head over to theaddition.net if you want my blogging and newsletters and all that stuff on tech and media. I would love to see there. I'm at Charlotte A. Henry across social media as well. The best place you can support this show, though, if you like what we're up to, is to head over to patreon.com/houseofcommentspodcast. For a fiver a month, you get some exclusive audio content, which we're going to start launching after the Easter break. We will add you to the paid list for both of our newsletters as well. So you're getting a slightly better deal on all of that. It means that really heading into the general election, we really can keep doing the kind of work we want to do here. It really does make a huge, huge difference. So thank you if you want to support us over there. Have a very nice break over the Easter weekend. Let's put it that way.
If you do the Easter thing, do the Easter thing. If you don't do the Easter thing, do the chocolate thing. Like me, you're on a permanent diet, just the smell of hot cross buns is enough.
And have a nice extended break. And we will see you all after that.